Insofar as possible, I think we would benefit from exiting that statutory regime, very controlled and rigid and top-down, towards the more flexible, open, spontaneous system we'd get with the common law.
Hi, I'm Todd Cranin, here for Reason TV. I'm here with Tom W. Bell, professor of law at Chapman University, and the author most recently of Intellectual Privilege, Copyright, Common Law, and the Common Good, which is published by the Mercatus Center. Tom, welcome to Reason TV.
Thank you, Todd.
The Constitution originally guarantees a certain amount of copyright protection, right, for 14 years and renewable for another 14 years, if I understand it correctly.
Well, the Constitution itself doesn't make provision for any particular term, but the first Copyright Act, passed just after the Constitution was ratified in 1790, did have a maximum term of 28 years.
And that has actually been extended through the years to something much more, right? The life of the creator plus what, another 70 to 95 years?
70 years, yes. Although for corporate works, it could last for up to 120 years.
On one hand, if the intent of that was to privilege creators, right, to make more things, you could argue that that's actually worked quite spectacularly, right? We live in a world with all sorts of stuff, photos, more music than ever before, just a click away on the internet. What, in your view, is wrong with the current system and why does it need to be reformed?
I think there's a lot to say for copyright today. I certainly agree there's a cornucopia of cultural artifacts that we enjoy. I'm not sure copyright gets all the credit for that, though. And I think in a lot of ways, the success of the arts and all those you mentioned, photography, music, everything else, shows that we don't need more copyright, and probably we could dial it back and still enjoy this great wealth of culture that's been generated, that's already in our libraries. So it's been a success, yes. We don't know all that success is from copyright, and it's some evidence we don't need more copyright.
Can you give us an example of a case, a specific instance, where copyright has actually harmed the system, harmed creators and producers?
Sure, I can give you an example of a woman created a book called Wind Done Gone. It was another take on Gone with the Wind, told from a slave's point of view. And initially, she faced an injunction that shut her down because the copyright holders of Gone with the Wind viewed that as infringement. Now, it took some litigation, eventually they got worked out, but that sort of thing scares off people who want to reinterpret old existing works in new ways. So they're trying to add to our understanding of works of art and enrich our culture, and they have copyright used against them as a bludgeon.
Part of your argument is that common law principles actually work better than current copyright statutes. I'm wondering, can you explain that a little bit?
Well, by the common law, I mean fundamentally those few simple rules of contract law, property law, and tort law that kind of form the foundational principles of our legal system. They're the backdrop against which legislators pass laws. And so copyright is in contrast to the common law. And my argument in the book is we should try, insofar as possible, to exit from that special regime of copyright back to the common law. Because I think if we just have people using creative ways, contracts and property rights in the form of, say, DRM, tort rights, things like that, we can get many of the boons of copyright without all the statutory failures we've seen in the statutory process.
You've also written that your goal is to get beyond the idea of copyright. It's interesting, you write, our packet-switched society relies on just a few simple rules based on natural rights and implemented through common law to define a protocol universally just and locally fair. And then you invoke libertarian economists like von Mises and Hayek and to say that our society spontaneously generates peace, prosperity, the fruit of conscious action, but not of conscious design. And I'm wondering, what is the chief benefit then of getting beyond copyright?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. It's kind of an abstract point, but I think it'll resonate with libertarians. I analogize the common law system to the packet switching that makes the internet work so well. And the same analogy extended to copyright makes copyright look like circuit switching, kind of the old phone network. And there's advantages to both, but I think too many people don't appreciate sufficiently how the common law can generate these wonderful things, unforeseeable things really, things that are hard for us to predict because it's a more free, flexible system. So I think a lot of the boons we get from copyright, we could get from the common law as well. We could have new works of art and the dissemination of books and photos and things if we didn't have copyright sort of getting in the way. It's a top-down process, comes out of Washington, suffers all the legislative failures that legislation always faces, and that's in contrast to this bottom-up process, the spontaneous order we get from the common law. So insofar as possible, I think we would benefit from exiting that statutory regime, very controlled and rigid and top-down, towards the more flexible, open, spontaneous system we'd get with the common law.
You mentioned that there are certain industries that really don't have any copyright protection whatsoever, like fashion, for example. What would happen if we got rid of it entirely?
I don't think anybody knows for certain, but I do think it's instructive that perfumes, jokes, recipes, furniture design, automobile designs, the list goes on and on. None of those industries have copyright protection, and there's no shortage of innovation. I mean, do you lack for new perfumes? I don't know what to do with all the perfumes. So there's ways people find to make money off of their creativity in the absence of copyright. And maybe that would be true in other areas as well, if we gave it a try. But I'm not calling for abolishing copyright, because really, I don't think anybody can know. It's more subtle than that, what I propose. I think we should set up the system so that innovators have an opportunity and an incentive to try standing on their own feet, as it were, in the common law system, to maybe once in a while give up some of their copyright privileges and try just using the common law. Maybe we'd end up with something, even for books and photos, like what we see with regard to jokes and recipes and perfumes. So the book talks about that. It's a tricky thing to implement, but I do think that we could do with less copyright. I think it's worth a try. I don't want to strike copyright from the books. I think it'd be a mistake, but I would like to see reforms towards less copyright.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit about why you're here in D.C. You've been on Capitol Hill for a while, and what has been your experience actually getting in with legislators?
Well, you know, it's interesting. If you had asked me a question like that 5 years ago, I think I would have said, oh, it's going to be more of the same. More copyright, more copyright, more copyright. Because back then there was just one lobby, basically. It was, you know, the publishers, Hollywood, and there wasn't much on the other side. So politically, we're entering an interesting era because of a couple things. One, some of the tech giants in Silicon Valley see that copyright gets in their way. You know, you think of somebody like Google, for example. They're not always big fans of copyright. It prevents them from making money. And on the other side, on that side of the fence also, we see the public finally starting to open its eyes. SOPA PIPA, that debacle, burned a lot of legislators. And they do not want to face another SOPA PIPA. That was for them a real kick in the pants. They realized, oh my gosh, you know, your average everyday voter now realizes copyright does influence them. Wikipedia was putting up these black pages. Send an email to your representative if you don't like this bill. And man, they got a lot of email. So now legislators are finally starting to see that when they ramp up copyright, they also can aggravate a lot of people. There's two sides to the debate now. So there's hope that at least the next time they touch the Copyright Act, it won't be just, you know, tightening up the screws a little more.
Was your message well received?
I think that lawmakers are interested in hearing other perspectives, to their credit, you know. That's what lawmakers are supposed to do. What comes out of the legislative process, who knows? But I think more so than in recent history, they're willing to consider other approaches to copyright. They too have the internet on their desks, and I'm sure they saw those black pages on Wikipedia. And so there's hope that we'll get a more balanced approach to copyright in future years.
All right, and we'll leave it there. Tom Bell, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Todd.
I'm Todd Cranin for Reason TV.